All right, let us look through the window of baseball. And here he is. We're looking at him live today. We do it for Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows. And let's hear it for Bruce Jenkins,
on.
One of the great.
Does it right.
Really. Honestly, you talk about a baseball man. He should be in the Hall of Fame someday. He gets it. And it's a pleasure to have you on the show every weekend. And it's nice to have you here today.
Oh, thanks, Marty. I love talking ball with you guys. And, you know, any era is in play.
That's right.
And, of course, all the current stuff. And it's a good part of my weekend, always.
Boy, Giants-Dodgers, we did a lot this morning with Bam Bam Mulins and Ron Wotus and Dave Rigetti and stuff like that. And, you know, it always comes back to one guy, Tommy Lasorda. It does. It comes back to him
sure
walking
does.
Out of that right field clubhouse door at Candlestick and working the crowd the rest of the way. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, I first met Lasorda in 1968. I was real close to one of Jim Murray's sons, Tony, who was a pitcher at Cal. We were at Cal together. I was in the Daily Cal. So we're down in San Diego at the Marine Corps Recruit Depot for a tournament.
Oh, I spent a lot of time there, Bruce.
and Jim says, we're going out to dinner with a guy from the Dodgers who is interested in Tony. And so it's the four of us. And here's Tommy Lasorda. I think he was managing Spokane then. Nobody really knew who
sure.
he was. Here's this incredible, flamboyant Italian guy ordering all the pasta in the world, regaling us with story. I go, man, that guy's impressive. What the heck, you know? And the other sort of story I remember is sometime in the early 80s, I'm in his office in Vero Beach. And this kid walks in, looks like a skinny, like the guy delivering pizzas. It's Oral Hershiser.
Ah.
And Lasorda goes, hey, take a look at this guy. This is the Bulldog. And don't forget, this is Oral Hershiser. I'm thinking, you got to be. That's the Bulldog? That's the last thing you call him. Maybe a poodle.
Sure.
You know?
And a whippet.
Sure enough, years later, the man was one of the best.
Wait till you hear Bob Brenly's description of Oral Hershiser. Mm-hmm. We'll have that on this morning as well.
Good.
Called him a Boy Scout, among other things. But the interesting thing about Lasorda, and Bam Bam talked about this morning, because he was managing the Netherlands, you know, in the World Baseball Classic, and they're down in Puerto Rico, and they're getting a chance to win that game and come up to Miami to play there. And Lasorda came in and gave the pep talk. And he did just like you just described. In the end of it, he says, and we're all Italians today.
I felt Italian after that dinner, I'll tell you that.
And
one.
It was great. But here we are. It's Kershaw. It's Petit. Bruce, it's Sunday. It's that special day of the week. It's a game that's very meaningful for both teams. Who has more pressure today, Giants or Dodgers?
Oh, definitely the Giants. I mean, you don't want to go three back. You know, knowing you're going to face Greinke and Kershaw again, which could be a setback in the standings if you lose those two games. So, I mean, obviously not a must-win, but and you can't, you know, if they do lose to Kershaw, it's not a disgrace, but it's still a huge game, and if they were to win it, it would have a huge repercussions, I think.
Well, yesterday, Yuron, you predicted a very close game.
Yes, I did.
Game,
a tight game.
And it ended after the second batter, I think. That was it.
Felt good about that call, so don't ask me about today.
17-0 last night, but, you know, as I said many times, Giants-Dodgers, it's always something different. And John teased me yesterday, called me Yogi Berra. I said, because these games are never over till they're over. Moffitt, the rest of them. Well, that one yesterday was over when it was over. But there's just something about these games, 17-0, 9-0, tight games at the end. And I caution everybody, you never can give up in this series. Something always happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure 9-0 followed by 17-0 has ever happened in this series. And it's really crazy. One thing it always teaches you is that there's really no momentum. You know, well, we've got the momentum now. We lost the momentum. Individuals have momentum, whether they're hot or they're cold, but teams really don't. I mean, if you all of a sudden you run into Drysdale or Koufax or Jim Palmer or Carlton or Clayton Kershaw, there goes your momentum.
Posey is 312 now, and we'll do the league leaders when your segment is done. Third in the league now in hitting. How about that?
He's going to take it. We
called
said that weeks
ago.
Yeah, he's going to take it. I mean, he's so dialed in right now. It's a great thing to watch. I mean, during the first half of the season, he wasn't even in the All-Star game conversation. He was like the fourth or fifth guy
That's
you talk
right.
about. Right now, you know, we're back to him and Yadier or Molina, which is how it should be. And his stroke is so admirable. It almost like it catches on with the rest of the teams. Everybody's going up the middle the other way, dead pulling what they have to, and what an example to set for good hitting.
So Kershaw is in another world,
as
Henry Schulman described, and everybody else is fighting for the second division of the Cy Young, but in there, you look at Kershaw, and then you got Cueto, Wainwright, and Bumgarner. I kind of throw a blanket over the three of them. They're all having a tremendous seasons, really.
Yeah, they really are. And, I mean, because we see so much of Bumgarner, it would be very hard for me not to put him number two. I mean,
okay.
He's, talk about a bulldog. I mean, my goodness. You know, comes out there against the Dodgers, allows no runs in a game they really wanted. He's just, he's been that guy really since the day he got here. And Wainwright is really coming on, too. I think Cueto might be a little off the radar in terms of the postseason, but...
I want to tell you, of those three, Cueto may be having the best season.
Well, yeah, he's nasty.
Believe it or not. Yeah. I mean, Cueto, believe it or not, when you look at the numbers, he may be having the best season of the three of them.
I'd say the Giants wouldn't want to face him if it were to come to that.
Well, luckily, luckily, he pulled a muscle in 2012.
That's right.
Maybe that was the biggest part because he didn't get to pitch again in that series. Yeah. And Latos pitched game five.
Yeah, that affected everything. You're right.
Boy, amazing part of baseball. What came up this morning in talking to Ron and Bam Bam Mullins on the air, gamesmanship in baseball. Now, of course, we always say, when do you steal, when do you not steal? But now the replay has turned into gamesmanship. Do you ask for a replay when you're down 17-0?
Well, I can see it. Let's say it is Posey, and he is in the batting race, particularly in the last week or the last day.
Right.
Or a guy's hitting 299, and he needs that hit in the worst way.
Yeah.
Last night, I mean, I can always see a manager sticking up for his guy. It kind of depends on the guy. You know, I don't think Hunter Pence would really care about this big commotion about getting an extra hit in a runaway. I don't think that would mean that much to him. But there are times when it's going to be relevant. Last night was kind of going either way. It didn't bother me that much, really.
No, but you're right, and that's what Woda said pretty much. If it's a fact of an RBI or an earned run or something that could really affect the player, you do it. But if you're down 17-0 to get a double play in the ninth inning, you don't do it. It's like calling a timeout in a football game. You know, you're down 34-0, and you know, you're in midfield, and you're calling the timeout so you can get another playoff.
Yeah, I was surprised that there was so little commotion about it, but... But that's part of replay, kind of an unsettling element.
Well, it's something to get used to now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think of the bubble machine?
I've never been a big fan. Lawrence Welk is my guy for the bubble machine. That's the only one I ever want to see.
That's what Woda said this morning.
Yeah. Turn off of the bubble machine. This one, it's a little cheesy, you know, a little Limburger for
me. Well, what if the bubble machine disappeared overnight? How about that? If they came out today and there was no bubble
machine. A little sabotage, Marty?
Well, why not?
That's going to happen.
Is it too much for professional athletes? Come on. You know, they have guys, remember the Jason Grimsley crawl through the
air conditioning duct to
get the bat. Why can't they crawl through when Harvey Hodgney is not looking and take the bubble machine?
Well, what if they put like some kind of toxic element in there? Here come the bubbles and the whole dugout passes out.
Like that? Yeah. Well, there's a few members of the Bay Area that might have a problem with any kind of toxic air or gas being thrown out there, right?
And then we got the DAs are going to be talking to you after that.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's unbelievable.
Well, it is exciting, though. Well, how do you see this playing out the rest of the way?
Oh, I just have no idea. You kidding?
Yeah.
I still like the Giants as a team. Not today. Maybe not even that. The Greinke Kershaw thing is a little bit like Koufax and Drysdale. But the Giants got past those guys at times. And I think the Giants' rotation is deeper. I think there's something about just the way they go about their business, the clubhouse mood. There's a lot of wild cards on the Dodgers. That, you know, Hanley Ramirez and Puig, Kemp's off and on. But what does that tell you? I don't know. I mean, I couldn't make a flat-out prediction, but I think if you pin me down, I think the Giants will win the division.
Yeah, a lot of people will be out here today watching this game, trying to figure out just what you just talked about of how this thing's going to unfold. So I think what we love about these shows, we get people ready for what is coming today and the breaks of the game, and maybe the Giants will get the breaks earlier today, and they'll see how it plays out.
Well, it'll be really interesting if they take a 2-0 lead and see what Petit does with it.
Yes.
He's... You know, the guy retired 46 batters in a row.
Then he threw a game 84 pitches.
I mean,
honestly, if you didn't say it was Petit, let's say it was Bumgarner, you know?
Yeah.
You'd say, wow, this is the greatest pitcher who ever lived.
Yeah, it sounds like Steve Carlton or Greg Maddux or something.
But it's Petit, so you don't quite grab it. But what he's done is monumental.
Yeah, and he's been so up and down that if he got shelled, nobody would really be surprised.
No,
where
right.
For Bumgarner, they go, wow. But.
Yeah, so that's why this game has it's an interesting storyline.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see who comes out here today for this one, boys, because last night I saw Bob Costas getting a security patrol through the bowels of AT&T.
Oh, really? He saw a dandy, didn't he?
Did he do the game?
He was sitting with Larry Bear through much of the game. He was on the telecast quite a bit.
Well, he was only to be outdone by one other security task force. I saw a couple of guys that looked like they had some bulges in their jackets. They had the coils behind their ears, and here comes Leon Panetta. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a heavy hitter right there, gents.
We covered the spectrum, man.
Yeah, very nice.
Bob Koss, both of them very, shall we say, impish men. Neither of them going to set a shadow anytime soon.
Billy Barty was here as well. So
that's all we needed. All right, have a great day.
Thank you, guys. Always fun.
Hey, let's hear it for Bruce
Jenkins. All right, Bruce. Great job.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. All right.